close by those meads forever crowned with flowers, where Thames with pride surveys his rising towers, there stands a structure of majestic frame, which from the neighboring Hampton takes its name. Here Britain's statesmen oft the fall foredoom of foreign tyrants and of nymphs at home. Here thou, great Anna, whom three realms obey, dost sometimes counsel take, and sometimes tay. Hither the heroes and the nymphs resort to taste a while the pleasures of a court. In various talk the instructive hours they passed, who gave the ball or paid the visit last. One speaks the glory of the British queen, and one describes a charming Indian screen. A third interprets motions, looks, and eyes. At every word a reputation dies. Snuff, or the fan, supplying each pause of chat, with singing, laughing, ogling, and all that. Meanwhile, declining from the noon of day, the sun obliquely shoots his burning ray. The hungry judges soon the sentence sign, and wretches hang that jurymen may dine. The merchant from the exchange returns in peace, and the long labors of the toilet cease. Belinda now, whom thirst of fame invites, burns to encounter two adventurous knights, at Ombra singly to decide their doom, and swells her breasts with conquests yet to come. Straight the three bands prepare in arms to join, each band the number of the sacred nine. Soon as she spreads her hand, the aerial guard descend and sit on each important card. First, Ariel perched upon a matador, then each according to the rank they bore. For sylphs, yet mindful of their ancient race, are, as when women, wondrous fond of place. Behold, four kings in majesty revered, with hoary whiskers and a forky beard, and four fair queens whose hands sustain a flower, the expressive emblems of their softer power. Four knaves in garb succinct a trusty band, caps on their heads and halberts in their hand, and party-colored troops, a shining train, draw forth to combat on the velvet plain. The skillful nymph reviews her force with care. Let spades be trumps, she says, and trumps they were. Now move to war her sable matadors, in show like leaders of the swarthy moors. Spadillo first, unconquerable lord, let off two captive trumps and swept the board, as many more Manilloia forces to yield, and marched a victor from the verdant field. Him Basto followed, but his fate more hard, gained but one trump and one plebeian card. With his broad saber next, a chief in years, the hoary majesty of spades appears, puts forth one manly leg to sight revealed, the rest his many-colored robe concealed. The rebel knave who dares his prince engage proves the just victim of his royal rage. Even mighty Pam, that kings and queens o'erthrew, and mowed down armies in the fights of Loo, said, chance of war, now destitute of aid, falls undistinguished by the victor's spade. Thus far, both armies to Belinda yield. Now to the baron fate inclines the field. His warlike Amazon her host invades, imperial consort of the crown of spades. The club's black tyrant first her victim died, spite of his haughty mien and barbarous pride. What boots the regal circle on his head, his giant limbs in state unwieldy spread? That long behind his trails his pompous robe, and of all monarchs only grasps the globe. The baron now his diamonds pour apace, the embroidered king who shows but half his face, and his refulgent queen with powers combined of broken troops and easy conquest find. Clubs, diamond hearts in wild disorder seen, with throngs promiscuous strew the level green. Thus when dispersed a routed army runs, of Asia's troops and Afric's sable sons, with like confusion different nations fly, of various habit and of various dye. The pierced battalions disunited fall, in heaps on heaps one fate o'erwhelms them all. The knave of diamonds tries his wily arts, and wins, oh shameful chance, the queen of hearts. At this the blood the virgin's cheek forsook, a livid paleness spreads o'er all her look. She sees and trembles at the approaching ill, just in the jaws of ruin and cadill. And now, as oft in some distempered state, on one nice trick depends the general fate. An ace of hearts steps forth. The king unseen lurked in her hand and mourned his captive queen. He springs to vengeance with an eager pace and falls like thunder on the prostrate ace. The nymph exulting fills with shouts the sky. The walls, the woods, and long canals reply. O thoughtless mortals, e'er blind to fate, too soon dejected and too soon elate. Sudden these honors shall be snatched away and cursed forever this victorious day. For lo, the board with cups and spoons is crowned, the berries crackle and the mill turns round. On shining altars of Japan they raise the silver lamp, the fiery spirits blaze. From silver spouts the grateful liquors glide, while China's earth receives the smoking tide. At once they gratify their scent and taste, and frequent cups prolong the rich repast. Straight hover round her the fair, her airy band, some as she sipped the fuming liquor fanned, some o'er her lap the careful plumes displayed, trembling and conscious of the rich brocade. Coffee, which makes the politician wise and see through all things with his half-shut eyes, sent up in vapors to the baron's brain new stratagems the radiant lock to gain. Ah, cease, rash youth, desist ere 'tis too late. Fear the just gods, and think of Scylla's fate. Changed to a bird and sent to flit in air, she dearly pays for Nisi's injured hair. But when to mischief mortals bend their will, how soon they find instruments of ill. Just then Clarissa drew with tempting grace a two-edged weapon from her shining case. So ladies in romance assist their knight, present the spear and arm him for the fight. He takes the gift with reverence and extends the little engine on his fingers' ends. This just behind Belinda's neck he spread, as o'er the fragrant steams she bends her head. Swift to the lock 1,000 sprites repair, 1,000 wings by turns blow back the hair, and thrice they twitched the diamond in her ear, thrice she looked back, thrice the foe drew near. Just in that instant, anxious Ariel sought the close recesses of the virgin's thought, as on the nosegay in her breast reclined, he watched the ideas rising in her mind. Suddenly he viewed, in spite of all her art, an earthly lover lurking at her heart. Amazed, confused, he found his power expired, resigned to fate, and with a sigh retired. The peer now spreads the glittering forfex wide to enclose the lock, now joins it to divide. Even then, before the fatal engine closed, a wretched sylph, too fondly interposed, fate urged the shears and cut the sylph in twain, but airy substance soon unites again. The meeting points the sacred hair to sever from the fair head, forever and forever. Then flashed the living lightning from her eyes, and screams of horror rend the frighted skies. Not louder shrieks to pitying heaven are cast, when heaven, husbands, or when lapdogs breathe their last, or when rich china vessels fall from high, and glittering dust and painted fragments lie. Let wreaths of triumph now my temples twine, the victor cried, the glorious prize is mine. While fish in streams or birds delight in air, or in a coach and six the British fair, as long as Atalantis shall be read, or the small pillow grace a lady's bed, while visits shall be paid on solemn days, while numerous wax lights in bright order blaze, while nymphs take treats or assignations give, so long my honor, name, and praise shall live. What time would spare from steel receives its date, and monuments, like men, submit to fate. Steel could the labor of the gods destroy, and strike to dust the imperial towers of Troy. Steel could the works of mortal pride confound, and hew triumphal arches to the ground. What wonder, then, fair nymph, thy hairs should feel the conquering force of unresisted steel.
Oh my.
That was a canto.
That was the best one yet. Mm-hmm.
I think we should turn first to. So we're in Hampton Court, which as is a favorite place for the wealthy and privileged of British society. Anne and the Queen of England, as mentioned, would stop by. They did snuff, they gossiped, and they played this game, which seems it's played with three players, and it seems it's similar. It's like three-handed bridge, but there's some features of poker added. It's called Hombre, as you heard mentioned, as it was called at some point during the right before they begin playing. But I can't quite find where. Oh, at Hombre singly to decide their doom.
What line is that?
It's line 27.
So that game that
so
that Hombre match was like a that was like a battle right there.
This is very indicative of Pope's of the mock epic voice of this poem that he would describe a card game. So epically, as if it were a life or death battle. He calls Belinda's opponents knights. The bands are prepared to join in arms. But let me just go through how we play the game. From a deck lacking eights, nines, and tens, nine cards are dealt to each player, and the rest put in a central pool on the green velvet cloth, which was mentioned in
the
Velvet Plane, exactly. Nice job.
I did remember.
The Verdant Field.
We should start playing this game.
Hombre?
That provides the playing surface. And that's each band, the number of the Sacred Nine. That's because each person is dealt nine cards. A declarer called the Hombre, which of course is Spanish for man, commits himself to taking more tricks than either of his opponents individually. Hence, Belinda's encountering two knights singly. So, similar to bridge in that the declarer has to take on the two.
So who was
defenders.
The Hombre in that one?
She was. Okay, she because that's why she said let spades be trumps.
Okay, I was just not familiar with the rules of.
Yeah. So the declarer, followed by the other players, then selects, discards, and replenishes his hand with cards drawn sight unseen from the pool. He proceeds to name his trumps. The three principal trumps, called matadors, always include the black aces. So when spades are declared, the matadors are in order of value. The ace of spades, which is called spadillo in here. The deuce of spades, manil, which is mentioned in line 51, manilio. And the ace of clubs, which is basto. The remaining spades fill out the trump suit. In the game here described, Belinda leads out her high trumps, but the suit breaks badly. The Baron retains the queen, with which he presently trumps her king of clubs. He then leads a high diamonds until she's on the verge of a set, the codeal mentioned in line 92, but she makes her bid at the last trick, taking his ace of hearts with her king, this being an hombre, the highest card in the heart suit, the king of hearts. So it's the king and queen of hearts, the fact that they each had one. It's a very romantic little twist there that Pope played up. And then Pope also disparages her for being so excited about winning the game when she's about to lose something far more valuable, which takes up the rest of the canto.
Yeah,
the actual,
can we get to that part?
Sure. The actual slicing of the hair with a pair of scissors.
She looks back three times.
Because the sprites warn her.
Yeah, I know.
The sylphs did the best they could, but then it's an important line. There's an important turning point here.
Where did he get the scissors from?
Someone
gave him the scissors. I recall.
I don't have any support for that.
Okay. Well, anyway, he gets scissors. He has scissors. That's what it was, like the metal thing. I mean.
Yes, one of his servants, Clarissa, if you remember, actually handed him the scissors.
There we go.
The two-edged weapon.
Two-edged, I like that.
And, so all the sprites do the best they can, but then we see, thrice she looked back and thrice the foe drew near, but then, this is an important turning point. Just in that instant, anxious Ariel sought the close recesses of the virgin's thought, and as on the nosegay in her breast reclined, he watched the ideas rising in her mind. Sudden he viewed, in spite of all her art, an earthly lover lurking at her heart. So Ariel sees, like, up, like this, like, she's actually fallen for this guy. There's nothing we sylphs can do anymore. Like we have to, like, this is,
I like
she's
that interpretation.
She's he's no longer able to protect her. And so it's her own, once she falls for the Baron, the sprites can't protect her from the scissors, which he praises at the end, the conquering force of unresisted steel.
I like that. Yeah, that was, oh, and also when the Baron cut the lock, he also cut one of the sylphs, but it was an air sylph, so it just turned back into air.
Yeah, I like that. Airy substance soon unites again.
Yeah.
But the meeting point's the sacred hair to sever from the fair head forever.
Ugh.
And forever, you can't.
Hair is not air.
No, hair.
I love that little pun. Yeah. Oh, Pope is just.
Shall we see what happens next?
I think we shall. Rob, anything?
I like that. We should play some Ombre.